Our scripture reading is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the congregation in Thessalonica, the fourth chapter. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. They knew that the army was pursuing them from the rear. The only thing in front of them was water, and they had now been given directives by Moses to head toward the shore of that water and to head down into it. And I'm sure there were a lot of people that day as the children of Israel prepared to head to the Red Sea that were filled with a lot of trepidation. And even as they saw the miraculous event of these waters separating and becoming a wall and now creating a highway and a path for them onto the ground of the sea, dry ground of the sea. Even as they stepped down into that water, there had to be a lot of fear and trepidation. I think of maybe a 10-year-old child looking at that. I bet there were a lot of kids screaming and crying to their parents. This was horrifying looking. This was something that was completely unnatural and unlike anything else that they had done in their life, and it looked terrifying. It's kind of a picture for us of looking at death. As we stare ahead at the fact that we're going to have to leave this life someday, it's kind of a terrifying thought. We kind of wonder to ourselves, what's it going to be like for me? What's it going to actually feel like when it really hits, when it really arrives? How is it going to go? There can be a lot of trepidation about that. Hans Brorsen, a Danish hymn writer, said this, "Death doth pursue me all the way, nowhere I rest securely. He comes by night, he comes by day, and takes his prey most surely." Now the context of St. Paul's words here to the congregation in Thessalonica, we don't fully know why he had to address this so clearly with them and lay out the details of what's going to happen when Christ finally returns. Is it possible that some of these people who had been converted from paganism still had some old thoughts of what might happen to them and their bodies, their souls? There's always been a lot of speculation as to what happens when people die. The Egyptians used to put a nail between the teeth of the corpse to make sure to allow enough space that the soul could leave and go out of the corpse and come back in, treating it like a hotel. In India, there are beliefs that when the soul leaves the body, it jumps into monkeys and crawls around on people's roofs. There are beliefs in an island out in the Pacific that when a person dies, their soul has to go through one particular tree on the island, and all the souls of everybody fly through that tree. There's always been a lot of speculation by people, just guesswork, because this is so unknown. This is something none of us have ever experienced to be able to come back and tell people about, except for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already ascended into heaven, who's already gone through death itself. And he gives us the very clear words of God. And God tells us that despite the decay of our earthly bodies, despite the decay of these fallen bodies we are living in, the soul we possess is immortal. Solomon said this, "Dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." We don't think about it, but your body is more than half water. It contains as many as 60 chemicals. And those are just chemicals found in nature and in the earth. Of course, because we were made from the ground. And that's what we return to when we die. Our bodies will disintegrate back into the ground. And that process is not a real lovely one to think about. It's not a friendly one to think about. When I was in high school, I had a I had a friend who used to go and take care of some elderly people in an apartment complex and check in on them once a week. And he opened the door of a woman's apartment who had been dead for about 4 days, and the stench was so bad he threw up within seconds. The decay of our earthly bodies is a very unpleasant thing. But the Lord tells us that when that moment happens that we leave this life, he removes our soul from us. In fact, to the believer, he says that angels take your soul up into heaven's side. Professor over at MLC wrote and said, "The soul is like a hand inside of a glove." It's a nice way to think of it, that your body is like a glove. And once that hand of the living soul is pulled out of the glove of your body, the body now is lifeless. Have you ever noticed when you're at a funeral, maybe of someone you knew very well, and you see that corpse, they just don't quite look the same now that the soul is gone? The soul is the life, and this now has been removed. Only one time in my life so far have I had the opportunity to actually watch someone die. It was an elderly man that I had ministered to. In fact, just a year earlier, I had brought him through adult instruction into the Christian faith. And I now was standing at his bedside with his family around him, and I had been reading the 23rd Psalm to him, and I could tell that he was struggling with his breath. And I finally said to him, "Al, it's okay to let go." And within about a minute, he was gone. And it was a very pleasant sleep that he went into. And I thought, what a amazing moment to be standing there reading the Word of God to this man just as the angels are coming to take his soul and transport it to heaven. St. Paul tells us elsewhere that God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice. And on that final day, all of the dead around the world of all times, through all centuries, will be raised up, both believers and unbelievers. Just think what a sight that is going to be. Hollywood can't even come close to trying to picture that. As you walk through cemeteries, just think what it would be like. They claim that in some parts of the world that bodies are buried as many as 7 layers deep. To think that all of the dead will rise up. My grandfather in 1914 took a voyage on a ship over to Norway, and on the way, 2 people died, and he had to have 2 burials at sea. How many bodies will even come up from the oceans and from the rivers and the lakes? Just think what a sight this is going to be. And in some ways, this sounds like kind of a terrifying event to us. But notice some things in our text. God has a very particular plan and schedule of events in all of this, and it is all entirely in our Lord's control. And notice this especially. When he talks to his faithful, when he talks to Christians about this, he speaks of it as a day of joy. He doesn't talk about it as a day of terror and fear when he talks to us. He speaks to us as if it's a day of joy. For those who are holding on to Christ their Savior, this is how we are allowed to look at it. He addresses us in a completely different way. When you have Christ in the picture, the one who has already ascended into heaven and promises to come back, when you have Christ in the picture, this is a very comforting picture. Notice some of the words. Paul uses the word asleep. What's a nicer way to talk about death than that? We think of how Jesus dealt with a 12-year-old girl, the daughter of Jairus. This entire text in front of us is nothing but encouragement for the faithful. Job said when he thought about the resurrection of his own body again from the grave and how God will put soul and body back together in a glorified state, Job said this, "In my flesh I shall see God. I shall behold him with my own eyes and not another." That's a great verse. And so Paul says at the end of this writing to the Thessalonians, he says, "Comfort one another with these words." Pastors often use this very section of scripture with the family right before they go in to the funeral service in the sanctuary. And I think of that, comfort one another with these words. These are words of encouragement. These are words for us as we look ahead at death to not be terrified. Imagine that day when those little children were going through the waters of the Red Sea and they first went in kind of terrified and afraid, and then to see Moses standing above them with his fist raised and realizing that God was taking care of them through this whole process, I bet by the end of that trip, they were laughing and smiling and talking about what an amazing thing it was. Your Lord Jesus has already gone ahead of you through death. He has already ascended into heaven. He's the one that knows what it's like, and he comes back and he says to you, you don't have to be afraid of this. I'm going to take you through it, and you're going to be laughing by the end of it. And I love this line from his lips. Whoever keeps my word shall never see death. Amen. Please rise. And let us pray. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that just as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into the heavens, so may we also in heart and mind to heaven ascend and continually dwell with him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.